Economic forecasts and refrigerators up for grabs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. More big ticket items are going out, and so are the economic forecasts, but they are all over the place. It's the morning open, a look at the broader economic outlook just a few minutes into the trading day. So where's Wall Street? Up right now, the S&P 500 up about 0.75%. NASDAQ up about 1.25%, and the Dow up about 0.6%. European stocks mostly up right now. Asian markets closed up as well. Hong Kong shares gained 2% today. Bill Stone is chief investment strategist at PNC Wealth Management. He joins us live from Philadelphia right now. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
I want to start off quickly with the Commerce Department. About an hour and a half ago, they said durable goods orders were up in May. Second month in a row, we're talking washers and dryers, big ticket items like that. I thought credit was tight, Bill, and people weren't spending money these days.
Well, I think it's a combination of a few factors. The factor that we've had quite a number of declines, so at some point people do have to finally spend on some of these items, and it does seem like they came out and finally did some of that spending.
Mm-hmm.
Although a lot of the strength was also in aircraft parts and some things like that, but all in all, a much better than expected number.
Yeah, we got word today from one group that economic prospects are improving, at least the world's advanced economies. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development says it sees growth returning next year. Now, hang on a minute, Bill, because we're going to hear from our European correspondent in London, Stephen Beard, about this.
The OECD says its members should see overall growth of 0.7% next year. Hardly a stellar performance, but much better than the sharp decline they're undergoing in the current year. Today's forecast is the OECD's most optimistic since 2007. The group praises the US stimulus packages in particular. It says they may well pave the way for recovery in the world's largest economy well before the end of this year. But there are a couple of caveats. Unemployment is a major worry and could blow the fragile revival off course, and ballooning budget deficits are an added danger. The OECD urges central banks to hang loose to keep interest rates close to zero this year and next. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
So, Bill Stone, the OECD says one thing, but wasn't it Monday that the World Bank told us growth wouldn't be so hot? Who are we to believe here?
That's a good question. I think it really underlines the range of outcomes you really see out there. I'd have to say our personal view here is that we'd probably edge more towards the OECD side. But I think much as the OECD says, it's still a very fragile recovery.
Yeah. And then we have the Federal Reserve to talk about today as well, wrapping up their two-day policymaking session. What can they possibly add to the mix as well? And how will they get their point across?
Well, you know, that'll be the most interesting. The one thing is that you can say is they're not likely to do anything in the sense of there'll be no change in the short-term interest rate target. I can't imagine it. What everyone's waiting to see is what they talk about. So in other words, how they really walk this tightrope of these concerns about inflation worries versus supporting a fragile economy. So that's really what everyone's kind of waiting for, see if they increase their amount of asset purchases. We don't believe they will.
And it's going to be about what they say, right?
Exactly.
All right. Thanks so much, Bill. We appreciate
Thanks.
It. This morning's New York Times reports Citigroup intends to raise base salaries by as much as 50% to offset smaller annual bonuses. The Citi said the changes bring the company's pay plan in line with the Wall Street view that bonuses are a deferred form of salary. You're listening to The Morning Report for Wednesday, June 24th, 2009 at Marketplace.org. No doubt 401ks have taken a beating in this economic downturn. Retirement plans have lost an estimated $2 trillion, and that's brought more attention to the buried fees charged by 401k plans. Today, a House committee takes up legislation that would address those fees. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
The bill would require 401k consultants and administrators to be more open about conflicts of interest and fees. Democratic Congressman George Miller authored the bill.
We've heard from people all over the country that these fees are not transparent, these fees are hidden, these fees are excessive, and that, in fact, you can reduce a lifetime savings of people who work for 20 or 30 years by almost 20%.
The bill rolls different fees into a single figure that would be displayed prominently in statements. Jeff Acheson is with Schneider Downs, a wealth management advisory firm. He says over a lifetime, a small fee can add up.
Dramatically, it adds up to tens of thousands of dollars in potential account value that could have been there to the younger or the larger contributor. It could easily be in six figures, the differential.
Opponents of the bill say it would make 401k plans more complex and costly and would reduce workers' access to investment advice. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Another committee today takes up a $500 billion transportation bill, but a couple of questions remain. How much goes where, and where's the money going to come from? Here's Marketplace's Sam Eaton.
The transportation bill introduced by Minnesota Democrat James Oberstar would replace the current one, which expires in September. It would also inject badly needed cash into the Highway Trust Fund. It's set to run dry in August. The bill has won praise from environmental groups and transportation officials. It would boost the share of funding for mass transit projects, including $50 billion for high-speed rail. But some supporters of mass transit say the bill still gives highways too much of the cash. Transportation for America Director James Corliss says that doesn't bode well, especially since cars account for a third of U.S. greenhouse gases.
We've got nice language in there to suggest we should reduce those, but not a lot of the details about exactly how you're going to do that from a transportation perspective and how we're going to pay for it.
Current transportation funding comes from a federal gas tax of about 18 cents a gallon, but with Americans driving less for the second year in a row, revenues have taken a dive. And with little support for raising the gas tax, the question of how to pay for it isn't going to go away. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Monsanto today reported a smaller-than-expected profit and will likely cut 900 jobs. For the seed and herbicide company, there's a lot at play. From station KWMU in St. Louis, Adam Allington reports.
In recent years, profitability at Monsanto has been driven by its hot-selling herbicide, Roundup. Those sales are now decreasing as cheap Roundup-like alternatives enter the market.
Those competitors are now flooding the market, pricing is coming down, and investors are forced to pay attention to what is the ugly cousin, so to speak.
Lawrence Alexander is an analyst for Jefferies & Company. He says the trick Monsanto needs to pull off is to keep that ugly cousin off the stage and introduce investors to some of their sexier next-generation seed products.
That's the part of the business that investors want to hear about. It's the part of the business investors want to pay for.
Alexander says that sales of Roundup could fall by half over the next several years. However, Monsanto is hoping that investors stay on board while the company transitions to new products. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
This one could be a summer blockbuster. Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen hits theaters today. The first Transformers movie came out a couple of years ago and raked in, $700 million or so worldwide. As fans will know, the films feature characters based on cars and trucks, many of those General Motors vehicles. The latest flick comes out as GM is in the midst of bankruptcy. Could be great timing, as Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
General Motors gave the Transformers movie makers almost 70 cars. GM made the decision to work on the sequel long before the wheels came off its own operations. Mark Grazier is a senior writer at Variety. He says the studio's not that bothered about the car maker being in bankruptcy.
Having GM on board, it means, you know, tens of millions of dollars in marketing support that Paramount now doesn't have. But when you have a film like Transformers, the sequel, they don't need that money.
Paramount says plenty of other brands are helping to promote the movie. Grazier says the franchise has legions of fans eager to see what befalls teenager Sam Witwicky this time round. Once again, the Autobots have to protect him and planet Earth from the evil Decepticons.
We've kept much from you, Sam.
This isn't my war.
I fear it soon will be.
But it's the cars that are the real stars in Transformers, especially when they morph into robots. GM's using the film to promote at least one of its cars. The Chevy Camaro stars as a major character. But GM has slashed its marketing budget and won't say how much it's spending on the high-octane ads that are playing in movie theaters. John Wolkonowicz is an auto analyst with IHS Global Insight. He believes GM will emerge quickly from Chapter 11, and he says the film's timing is perfect.
You're going to get a lot of instances where kids who are not old enough to buy a car are going to ask, Dad, let's go down to the Chevy dealer and see that new Camaro. And Dad might wind up driving out in a Malibu or a Silverado or something else that's more practical.
GM vehicles get all the good parts in this movie. Well, they're the good guys anyway. Variety's Mark Grazier says that turns the film into one long commercial for the carmaker. He says GM's bankruptcy will be the last thing on the audience's mind.
The movie is so big and it involves characters that are so loved that, you know, having GM play those characters will only make GM look better in the eyes of the consumer. It's a cool factor that you just can't buy.
Even if you could afford it. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Have some Oscar-worthy speech you'd like to share? Write it down and share it with us at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.